how to avoid them. That's just the key. I managed to get some very nice points from Prabhupada, either through his lectures or through some of his letters. And I thought the best way to do it actually is to run through it. Is to run through it with you. Because in whatever that's here, actually Prabhupada has given some very good takeaway guidance points that we can use for us, especially when we are chanting. The biggest problem with chanting and trying to avoid the offenses is that, ironically, we're supposed to chant every day. So our exposure to the offenses is always going to be there, especially when we are not attentive, or especially when we don't understand what the holy name is, what is the potency of the holy name. If we think of it as material, then we are going to definitely offend. If our relationship with the devotees is also not proper, we will also offend, because blaspheming the devotees is as good as criticizing them. So if we start looking at devotees in a critical attitude, then that will already be offensive to the holy name. For those of us who are initiated, if we don't obey the orders of the spiritual master, or for those who are not initiated, if we don't obey the orders of the founder acharya and the parampara, you find that also creates some form of offenses. And if you don't know the nature of the holy name, then seeing that it's imagination, thinking that it is also ritualistic in nature, that will also come. So you find actually the common denominator is that we don't understand and appreciate what the holy name is. That's the whole problem. And if we have by nature a critical attitude in devotional service, that becomes very difficult. They are there, Mataji. So let's see what Prabhupada says. We can just read. It's not much, but it makes good reading actually. The first one we got is from the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 12, Further Aspects of Transcendental Service. Maybe we can just read it and then I can highlight some parts possibly. Prabhu, you want to read the first paragraph?
The importance of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna
Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare
is very strongly stressed in the second canto, first chapter, verse 11 on Srimad Bhagavatam in the following way. Sukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Parikshit, "My dear king, if one is spontaneously attached to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it is to be understood that he has attained the highest perfectional stage."
Okay, this is important. Actually, what we want to do eventually is pray to Krishna that we become spontaneously attached. Spontaneously is a good word. It means that without anyone telling us, we want to chant. To put it very simply. There's no one to tell us. Just like, you know, if you have a child, children sometimes have the initiative to do their homework, or you have to keep chasing them every day. Have you done your homework? When you have a child who somehow or another is spontaneously attached, I don't know how that is going to be. I don't have any memory of doing that. But the idea is that you have your own initiative. So spontaneity doesn't only mean that, you know, your hair stand on ends and that you're tearing, but it actually means that you take some initiative. Sometimes we think spontaneous means immediately it's a very high level of devotion. But actually spontaneity actually comes when you are taking some form of initiative. You decide, okay, today is Bhakti Vatsalas. You know, I want to find out before somebody calls me whether, you know, it's on. I want to find out what is the topic. I want to find out this. I want to find out that. That is spontaneous. So a good measure of how much we are attached to the holy name, how much we are attracted to it, is actually how spontaneous we are about our own chanting. Do we need someone to push us to chant? Or do we need someone to set goals for us? Or are we already trying to set goals for us? Are we trying to make that effort every day that I want to chant? That itself is initiative. The next stage after initiative is always spontaneous. Will come. But if you say, I have to do it even though I don't like it, that's not really initiative. That's dragging yourself through it. Initiative means you're a bit alert, you know, you want to do it, It's very important. So we should understand the word spontaneous just doesn't mean that, you know, it is just coming from the heart. Initiative is just one step further, but it's an important start. Carry on, Prabhu.
It is specifically mentioned that the Kalmis were aspiring after the creative results of their activities, the Salvationists were aspiring to become one with the Supreme Person, and the Yogis, who are aspiring after mystic perfections, can achieve the results of all perfectional stages simply by chanting the Maha Mantra. Sukadeva uses the word Nirnitam, which means it has already been decided. He was a liberated soul and therefore could not accept anything which was not conclusive. So, Sukadeva Goswami especially stresses that it has already been concluded that one who has come to the stage of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, of Hare Krishna Mantra, with determination and steadiness, must be considered to have already passed the trials of creative activities, mental speculation, and mystic yoga.
Why we italicized and bolded this is because, in order to avoid the offenses, it's very important for us to have two qualities. We should be determined in our chanting, and we should be steady in our chanting. If we have these two, this is better. If we have these two, you find that chanting becomes a lot easier. We must be determined. Definitely there will be problems, definitely there will be issues with time, there will be distractions, there will be our duties. But if you are determined, you yourself know, even in material pursuits, if you're determined to get something, somehow or another, you will do it. Where there's a will, there's a way. So these two qualities are very important to avoid the offenses. If we are very determined to actually listen and hear the Maha Mantra when we chant, that determination to hear will avoid inattention. Very important. And you all know, once we become inattentive to chanting, once we don't hear it with attention, then we lose concentration, then all the offenses will start. That's the whole problem. It's the same thing in school. If you don't pay attention to the teacher, then no matter what you do, you're not going to do well. But paying attention means that you have to hear. So it's the same thing with Maha Mantra. We must hear. Chanting without hearing is actually not chanting. Mumbling chanting, murmuring chanting, you know, it should be clear. If you call somebody by name, you want to say it clearly. Otherwise, it's disrespectful to the holy name. So actually, you find the foundation of our offenses start when we are not attentive. So that's why it's important to be determined to be attentive, and we must be steady. It cannot be that today we chant at this time, tomorrow we chant that time. Then the tendency for the mind will be, okay, we'll just slot in our chanting as and when we can. Then it means the chanting is no more priority. If you are in a relationship and someone is very important to you, you never slot them into places and say, look, you know, I'll find time for you when I can. Obviously, then the relationship is not important. It's the same thing with the holy name. If we say, when I have time, I will do my chanting. So today, I can't really tell you, Krishna, when I will have time, but as soon as I have time, I will chant. That's not steadiness, you see. So that we should not do. A lot of times, we become offensive when we lose determination, when we lose steadiness. So that's why these two are very important. If you have these two, Prabhupada says, then, you know, you have passed the stage of fruitive activities. That means automatically, Prabhu, when you chant, you will not be asking for this, asking for that. That is at the fruitive stage. But you will chant because you are chanting so that you can become connected to Krishna. And you are asking for an opportunity to do service. So the fruits are not important. And the other thing is, there's no more mental speculations. Otherwise, sometimes, you know, mental speculations have a problem because they tend to riddle the mind with a lot of worry and anxiety. Did he say this? What did he mean by that? Why did this happen? And when we speculate without a basis, we lose time. So that's why mental speculation is considered very difficult. It's a state of anxiety of the mind. And of course, mystic yoga. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so powerful that any kind of mysticism or yoga which we know as today's yoga, is not really necessary. Within the chanting, everything is there. But if we think that, oh, the chanting is there, but this is also equally important, then you're making the chanting into something mundane. That's very important. But this must not be mechanically done. You must understand the nature of it. That's why Prabhu, if you don't read Prabhupada's books, it becomes very difficult. You realize that all your offenses start when you don't know what you're doing. Isn't it? That's the whole problem. So we should really know why we chant. Daily we should be able to find some time to read Prabhupada's books. Daily. It's very, very important.
I just have one question. Prabhu, it's mentioned that when you do chanting with steadiness and determination,
yes,
you have already passed the trials of fruitive activities,
yes,
mental speculation. So mystic yoga we can understand because we are not engaged in that. But when we come to fruitive activities, mental speculation, even though to some extent we are determined and steady, the trials of these fruitive actions and mental speculation are still there.
Yeah.
Like we go to work expecting something.
Yes.
Or sometimes there is mental speculation,
yes,
like you said, what this person said,
yeah,
that person said. But we're still determined and we're still steady.
Yes.
So does that factually mean that we have passed the trials of
very nice action? Question. Actually, the answer is given in Bhagavatam. All these problems of mental speculation and material anxieties and fruitive activities, they will always be there. You can't escape from that. So you're right. Samsara dharme avimuyamana. The nature of the world is that it will bewilder us because it's a difficult place to stay. But the difference is, one, we understand that sometimes we are attracted to the fruits, but the real test is, do we act on it? If we act on it, then these trials will affect us. But if we don't act on it, what we understand is there, then the holy name protects us. So what the holy name does when you chant nicely is that it actually gives you enough restraint of the senses such that you don't act on your hankerings, don't act on your speculation. You're able to pull your senses back. Otherwise, doing it artificially is very difficult. But doing it with the aid of the spiritual names becomes very easy. So that's the point. Trials will always be there. But Prabhupada says here that actually you can pass these trials. You already would have considered to be passing these trials if the chanting is steady and is determined. That is very important.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
So in other words, you're saying that the mind will always continue to throw like disturbances time and again.
Yeah.
And then the test is whether the test is actually how much you're agitated by it.
Yes. That's the real test. Just like rain will always be there. Right? You can't stop the rain. But you just need an umbrella. That's it. If you have an umbrella, you're all right. But you need the umbrella. So you can't stop the rain, but you need an umbrella. So we can't stop the mind, but we have the chanting. Chanting helps us. That is what we need. Okay, let's go on. Madhumanko, you want to read?
The same thing is confirmed in the Adi Purana by Krishna. While addressing Arjuna, he says, "Anyone who is engaged in chanting my transcendental name must be considered to be always associating with me. And I may tell you frankly that for such a devotee, I become easily purchased."
This is a nice quote from Adi Purana. And it's actually a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. So Krishna makes it very clear. As long as you're engaged in chanting his name, then you're associating with him. Prabhus, we must have faith in this. This is where the steadiness and determination that when I'm chanting, I'm associating. When I'm associating, I'm chanting. If you have that faith, that is a positive way to avoid the offenses. The moment we lose the faith that we are associating with Krishna, then all the offenses will come. They all come automatically. They stand before you. But this point is very important. Whoever chants, please consider that you are associating with me. And Krishna is so kind, he says that for such a devotee, I'm easily purchased. In other words, Krishna becomes very available to that devotee. As long as you have the faith that you are associating with. See how important it is? It's very important. So this is one thing that's important. Now let's go on to the Padma Purana. Madhumanko, you can read again.
In the Padma Purana also it is stated, "The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is present only on the lips of a person who has for many births worshipped Vasudev. It is further said in the Padma Purana, there is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. As such, the holy name is as perfect as the Lord himself in fullness, purity and eternity. The holy name is not a material sound vibration, nor has it any material contamination. The holy name cannot, therefore, be chanted offenselessly by one who has failed to purify his senses. In other words, materialistic senses cannot properly chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But by adopting this chanting process, one is given a chance to actually purify himself, so that he may very soon chant offenselessly.
That's the beauty. Actually, the fact is, when we chant, there are offenses, because we are not perfect. But the only solution is more chanting.
Yes.
We have to keep chanting. But this time, the next round when we chant, when we know we are offensive, the next round when we chant is to be determined and steady in our chanting. So every time we know we are not up to the mark, the next time we chant, we make a sincere effort to improve. When Krishna sees the devotee is sincere, then what happens is he actually gives the chance to the devotee to actually become less offensive in his chanting. So actually, a lot of spiritual life is not only about the process, it's about cultivating our behavior. And that's why 90% of people lose faith in religion and spiritual life, because what we speak and what we do is not in congruence. And when that happens, right, people lose faith. They lose courage. So that's why when we chant, we should be clear that there are qualities attached to the chanting. Just like offensive chanting is a quality, a bad quality, good chanting, steadily, in a determined way, is a good quality. So instead of being on the defense, we are on the offense. We attack the offenses with determination and steadiness. This is very important. And knowing, as Padma Purana says, how perfect the name is, how much it is non-different from Krishna, and how it is full, it is pure, it is completely transcendental. That is the faith that helps us to chant offenses. The less that faith, the more offenses will come. The more the faith, the more the less the offenses will come. Sometimes devotees ask how to create faith. We'll come to that, because it's given by Prabhupada. How do you create faith?
Yes, I like the part where it says one is given a chance to actually purify himself.
Yes.
Because especially in Harinam Chintamani,
yes,
Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about giving chanting to a faithless person.
Yes.
And then he talks about Jagai Madai. Then he said that the chanting itself is a means and an end to purification.
Very good point.
So,
Yes, brother. Very nice point, Dhanesh. The point that this idea that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is very important, because chanting of the holy name is the means to purify.
It's also the end goal.
It is also the end. Sometimes we also mistake that after I chant, there will come a point where no need to chant. It's not going to happen that way, right? Jagai and Madai chanted the holy names of the Lord in a very offensive manner, behaved in an offensive manner, but because they chanted, Mahaprabhu, through the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, accepted them. So the means and the end are the same in transmitting. 90% of all our hankerings end when we understand this point. Otherwise, we come to the center and there is an expectation immediately created. I do all this, what am I going to get from it? The moment you start thinking that way, you've missed the point. The point is the act of performing this service is in itself the end. It's blissful in itself. It is enough in itself. If you want anything else, then all you're asking for is material things. If I come here so that, you know, I can give good class, then the result of the good class must be glorification, must be puja, pratishtha, you know, people falling at your feet, things like that. Now, if tomorrow I have a service and I have to do it tomorrow, then if the aim is, after I do service, people must come up and say, wow, nice, very nice, very nice, then we will become disturbed. That's fruitive activity. Yes.
What is sometimes, you know, the mind sometimes plays its own tape recorder, like as if it's doing for, like, you know, because we're used to thinking this way, like if you go outside, people obviously like, oh, I'm giving you something, I'm expecting something
later.
Yes. So we keep hearing this day in, day out.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So it gets registered, so fixed. So sometimes even if we don't want to think like that, sometimes the mind plays it like a movie. Then is it us or is it the mind? You know what I'm trying to say?
It's both.
Both.
We are still taking a lot of association of the mind. It's a clear indication that our chanting is not properly done.
Okay.
If the mind plays like a movie, it must be a good movie. You know? Must be running very well. So then it's an indication that the chanting is effective. The chanting is not up to the mind. Otherwise, it won't play like a movie. It will play in bits and parts and won't trouble you so much. But that's a very good point. It will happen.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is a good test. It's Julan Yatra. We all are on the spot with the decorations. Now, if you feel after the decorations, people should come and say, very nice decoration, then you have missed the point. But if you feel you've done what you can and now you leave it to the good Lord and Krishna Masji comes and says, not good enough, then you must say, Krishna is telling me to deflate my ego because there's still room for improvement. So let me take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. But it's been a blissful experience. Then you'll find you're not disturbed. So tomorrow is a good test for this. But you see my point? It's coming, it's flowing from Dhanesh Prabhu's point. Means and end. Don't mix up. In the material world, you work to end it with an idea of a goal. In spiritual life, the journey is the goal because it's so beautiful, so blissful. But if you come in with material lenses, as Prabhu pointed out, if the movie is playing, then what happens is you expect it. You will expect. It must be there. Now the Matajis are in the room, so they're expecting that the aircon must be cool. The aircon is not cool, they may become distracted. That will be a problem. Sometimes we want to sit down for Bhaktivatsa program and we think it must be nice and quiet. Now we have five small ones coming up and looking at me as if they are going to do something. Okay. Are you all supposed to be dancing here? Darshika, come here. Okay, on that. I think they're going to dance here. Okay, never mind. But my point is, do service in such a way, chant the holy name in such a way, that it is not that when I do something, because I'm chanting this way, Krishna must give me a good job, Krishna must give me a good wife, Krishna must make my career smooth, then it's all butter trading. Then Krishna may give you a good career, but he will take away your taste for the holy name. Because that's how you want to engage with him. Fine, he's very kind. He engages with demons also. So surely he can engage with, you know, devotees who don't want the name, but who want something from him. He can do that. He can. So sometimes you hear, unfortunately, you know, when devotees say, Prabhu, you know, Krishna has blessed me with a good wife, good son, good this, good that. But that's a strange statement to make. Because that's not blessings, actually. It doesn't mean if everything is good materially that it is a blessing. So it requires a paradigm shift, you see. If you want to be attached to the holy name without offenses, then we cannot see that because I'm chanting, everything wonderful is happening. No. The incentive is actually our consciousness. Is Krishna protecting our consciousness? If Krishna puts us in difficulty and we have to remember him more, is that not more precious than to have a wonderful life and not remember Krishna? Which one we want? That's the point. That's something that's really important. So we should remember that. Adi Shankara's parents, you know, were asked in their dream, do you want a child who will live for a long time but have no value and give nothing to the world, or do you want a child who will live very short, 16 years, but in that time, you know, he will give so much to the world. And they said, I'd rather have someone who lives short, but who can give more. And that is our Vedic culture. Not the material, but the spiritual.
We'll
yes, Prabhu.
If you don't mind, just two questions
of course,
that are stemming from this. One part is, like Prabhu was saying, you know, we start seeing that, you know, materially everything is going on well. Then we tend to have this notion that our spiritual life is good. Right? So that really hits hard. But the other side also, when we read in Bhagavad Gita, it is also stated that one who sees, you know, the blessings and the curse as blessing of Krishna, So in that sense, how does this point apply?
Actually, 264 tells us very clearly that for a devotee, the mood is that we are neither attached nor are we averse. So we are not attached if something good or bad happens. Neither are we averse to it if it doesn't happen. So I think that is your point. If something good happens, well and good, we will accept it. Of course, we thank Krishna. But if suddenly, after a while, it goes away, then also we have to accept it. Because its time has run out. Now we shouldn't curse Krishna. So, we are not against something, neither are we attached to it. That becomes better. Actually, if you use this with devotees, it becomes very easy. You know, then all our relationships become very simple. In fact, all relationships in this world become simple if you follow this point. We are not attached to anyone. Rather, we serve everyone. When you serve someone, you're not attached to them. You're attached to them when you want something after you serve. And at the same time, if there are people you don't like, and it's natural, there are people we get along with, there's some people we just don't get along with, it's natural. But we're not averse to those people. If someone criticizes us, if someone has a big misunderstanding with us, we should not be averse to them. Aversion is not the mark of a devotee. Only demons are averse. Demons always have an enemy. Have you noticed that? One of the qualifying, you know, one of your job descriptions of a demon is that you must have an enemy. Otherwise, what's the role of a demon? You know, who to fight with, you know, who to kill. You must always have an enemy. You must be averse to someone. But for devotees, we don't have enemies. Yudhishthira Maharaj is famous because he had no enemy. Yeah, he was born without an enemy. Can you imagine? What a nice name. Born without enemy. So that is our mood. No one is an enemy to us. But we see the hand of Krishna in everyone. If someone scolds us, you know, if someone tells us something, then it's very simple. Where there is smoke, there must be fire. That should be the mood of it. So if there's smoke, there must be some fire. Let me look at myself. Let me chant with more determination, more steadiness. Let me avoid the offenses and let me continue serving Krishna. That should be the mood of it. Then the devotee is free. He is not attached. He is not averse. So that's a nice point. Second
question, Guru, is that individually, it's quite easy to follow that, you know, we should not have any expectations. But then we all come with sets, in the sense that family is there.
Yeah.
So when we don't have any expectations and when we do the devotional service, but, you know, those who are dependent on us, they have their own bodily needs and
yes.
they have their desires.
Yes.
Maybe it's not so much related to temple, or devotional
yeah.
service, but at home.
At home,
like
relationships.
We always say that,
you know, yeah.
devotees have to be devotees at home
yeah.
and also in the temple.
Yes.
So, but at home, you know, we have to provide for the necessities and even the desires
yes.
of those who are depending on us.
Yes.
So, in that sense, Prabhu, we are also chanting. So, individually, we are able to follow.
Yeah.
But what happens when, you know, the mind is dragged by the expansions of our body, the extensions of our body?
This is a very practical point. I think you know what he's asking, isn't
yes,
it?
Prabhu.
I mean, you may be chanting, for example, and you find that your wife, you know, is, yeah, she's also chanting, but she's not really so interested maybe in the idea of the holy name being, you know, really the holy name. And naturally, our family members may not be on the same wavelength with us, even we may not be on the same wavelength with them. And they have desires, they have this, they have that, what do we do? Actually, Shastra is very clear. To the extent that we can keep our household peaceful and serve them, we should maintain what we can. But it is also very clearly stated by Rishabhdev in the fifth canto that we cannot fulfill the desires of everyone because desires in this material world cannot be fulfilled by nature. It's not possible. It's not possible. So, when we understand that, then we can try our best. But if these desires go against our Vedic principles, if the desires go contrary to what our spiritual master would want, what Srila Prabhupada would want, then it's good to open a dialogue with the person. It's good to sit down, discuss these things with the person. We don't have to fight with them. But the purity of the holy name will protect our consciousness even as we engage them in this. That's a difficult challenge for devotees. But that is where our garden has to be really in order. The more our garden is in order, the less other people will actually find the ways to criticize or to disturb our sadhana. So we should make our spiritual life strong. We can't help others. In fact, we can't even help ourselves very often. But the least we can do is, at least we be steady and determined. We should become good examples to those at home. Eventually, their resistance will wear off. Sometimes it's a matter of a battle between matter and spirit. Those who are material will tend to impose on those spiritual, and vice versa. But purity is the force, Prabhupada said. So if our chanting is very nice, and if it is offenseless chanting, then it's very hard to resist the devotee who's chanting offenselessly. Very difficult. So that's how we should move forward. It's a good question. Okay, let's come to the last paragraph. Vishal Prabhu, you want to read probably the last paragraph?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that everyone chant the Hare Krishna mantra just to cleanse the dust from the heart. If the dust of the heart is cleansed away, then one can actually understand the importance of the holy name. For persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from their hearts and who want to keep things as they are, it is not possible to derive the transcendental result of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. One should therefore be encouraged to develop this service attitude toward the Lord, because this will help him to chant without any offense. And so, under the guidance of a spiritual master, the disciple is trained to render service and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna mantra. As soon as one develops his spontaneous service attitude, he can immediately understand the transcendental nature of the holy name of the mantra.
So what do you think, Prabhu? What's the secret here? What's the most important point in this paragraph?
Service.
Right? What is it specifically that Prabhupada says?
Attitude.
Yes. We should be encouraged to develop our service attitude. You see the link? There is a link between chanting and service. Because when we serve the Lord, that actually purifies the heart. Then chanting without offenses becomes possible. That's why sometimes people say, how do I come to the platform of service, of chanting without offenses? Do I tick off each offense every day? Have I done this? Have I committed this? That's artificial. But if we perform, if we develop this nice service attitude, and service attitude means that we should be inclined to clean the dust from our lotus, from the heart. That is very important. So service attitude is really the foundation. That's why as Bhaktivatsalas, I feel you all are actually in a very advantageous position, because you all have the propensity and the energy and the direction to perform service. I've seen, practically all of you having that taste to do service. And this confirms to you why service attitude has a direct link with how well you chant. The more you're ready and determined and steady in your service, the more you find that you'll be able to chant spontaneously. The more you drop your services, the more you find that your chanting actually, the quality of the chanting is affected. And the other point Prabhupada brings up here is that one should not perform service in a whimsical manner. It should be done under the guidance of a spiritual authority. For those of us who are initiated, we take the guidance of a spiritual master. For those who are not initiated, maybe it's time now for us to reflect on how important it is to actually surrender to the spiritual master. Because only under his guidance will we be trained to render service. Just like in any job, for example, you require requisite training for you to become competent in any field. It's the same with spiritual life. You can't come in and do what you want. There are rules, there are regulations, because we're not spontaneous at this point. So at every stage, we should live our lives always guided. That is safe. And when we have that mood of being guided by our seniors, by the authorities, by the parampara, by the acharyas, that will give us the first qualification to chant the name consistently, and that's humility. Or a devotee who doesn't want to take guidance in his service, then the question of humility is always going to be there. And humility is the first step. One who's humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant, right, than a tree. This is that. Without humility, without tolerance, without being able to bend our heads and say, guide me in the service, it's very difficult to chant without offenses. That's why Prabhupada encouraged independent, thoughtful men who can advance Krishna consciousness. But they should always be under the guidance of their spiritual masters. Krishna consciousness is not brainwashing in the sense that everybody must think the same. No. Each one of you think different. If I set you down and ask you your different ways to preach, you probably all tell me different ways. Different services you like, you're all different. But we're all under the guidance of Prabhupada. In the center, we submit to Prabhupada. We submit to our spiritual masters. That's why we are together. That's why we're not fighting with each other. So, these two things are very important. And when this happens, then you will have spontaneous service attitude. Don't ever come to a point, Prabhus, where after a juncture of your life, supposing you get a new job, Prabhu, too much time now, I have to spend time in my job, my services drop. Where there's a will, there's always a way. It doesn't mean after marriage, services drop. Doesn't mean after having children, services drop. No. At every junction, in fact, you should be more vigilant about your service. We should increase it. The more we increase our service, the more we spend time with Krishna, the more we will chant in an offenseless manner. And very often, as you said correctly, the mind has a way of playing out its movie functions and arguments. Today I can't come because of this. But the truth is, the mind doesn't want you, not interested in actually doing service or chanting. And then the mind finds the various arguments and tells you, this is why I can't come. This is why I won't come. It's because of this devotee, or because of this arrangement, or because of what happened last week, you know, or because of what didn't happen. These are all the reasons we will give eventually to tell ourselves why I won't be part of this service, or why I can't be part of that service, why I don't want to be part of this service. And when Jagannath sees you don't want to be part of any service, then he's very kind. He listens to what you want. So don't be part of anything. That's also fine. The door is open, you just have to walk through. That's the key. Look at the next one here. Prabhu, you want to read it? Yeah? The spiritual master awakens the sleeping living entity.
It is the spiritual master who delivers the disciple from the clutches of Maya by initiating him into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In this way, a sleeping human being can revive his consciousness.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In other words, the spiritual master awakens the sleeping living entity to his original consciousness so that he can worship Lord Vishnu. This is the purpose of Diksha or initiation. Initiation means receiving the pure knowledge of spiritual consciousness.
Next paragraph.
When a mantra is chanted by a great devotee, the mantra becomes more powerful. Although the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is powerful in itself, a disciple upon initiation receives the mantra from the spiritual master. For when the mantra is chanted by the spiritual master, it becomes more powerful. Lord Shiva advised the sons of the king to hear him attentively, for inattentive hearing is offensive.
This is very nice. Lord Shiva was speaking to the sons of King Prachina Bahisat. And even here he tells them, hear me attentively. Because if you're inattentive, you're offensive. It's the same way, same principle for hearing the name. Hear it attentively and you will not be offensive. But the point I'm trying to make here and what Prabhupada is saying in both Madhya Leela and Bhagavatam is the essence of initiation. When you take guidance or initiation from a spiritual master, the name is powerful. But Prabhupada says here, when the name is touched by the lips of a spirit of a pure devotee or an advanced devotee, then what happens is the name gains so much more potency. Why? Simple. Because Krishna is always pleased by his great devotees. And he always wants to increase the influence of his great devotees. And there are so many verses in Bhagavatam where Krishna says that you think I'm independent by nature, but frankly speaking, I'm not. I'm completely dependent on my devotees. I cannot even enjoy my transcendental opulences without the association of my devotees. In all of Krishna's pastimes, you never see him alone. Krishna is always with devotees. So sometimes what happens is, in an immature state of mind, we chant. We come to the center. We see the deities. We do service. We leave. But what's missing is, we are not there to please the devotees. Because we think, it's just me and Krishna. I don't need anyone else. That is not going to help us to chant offenselessly. We will become offensive because we will blaspheme the devotees. The first offense will be committed immediately. And as for initiation, sometimes we can say that we need time. But sometimes there's also the other factor, that time is there, but at the same time is also not there. We cannot take it for granted that, let me just take a 20-30 year route, and then one day, you know, everything will fall in place. Krishna sees how determined you are. Krishna sees how steady you are. Krishna also sees your desire. If you desire strongly to be guided by a pure devotee, Krishna will make all facilities for you to be guided. He will. But it must come from our hearts. And we must be convinced, because the way to actually improve our chanting is to be under the guidance of the spiritual master. That is a very good way to advance our chanting. It's very important. And that is because the mantra that is chanted by the devotee and given to the disciple upon initiation, it becomes very, very powerful. Many devotees after initiation will tell you practically what a difference initiation makes, how it changes the way we see things, how it makes us ready ready to bear the most difficult challenges in the world. And if not for that holy name that is given to us by a pure devotee, I think many of us would have perished a long time ago in all the difficulties that we are facing. So Prabhupada is not joking here. It's very important. So service attitude, Prabhus. We must have a good service attitude. Why? Because when we chant, what are we asking?
Engage.
We're actually asking Krishna, Krishna, please engage me in service. Then somebody come and say, Prabhu, can you help me downstairs? No, I don't want to. Doesn't make sense. You just asked him for service. He just sends a devotee who is non-different. He's a representative of Krishna. Comes up and says, Prabhu, can you do the service? No. That means, what are we chanting? That means we have no idea why we chant. Unless we're telling Krishna, Krishna, I want service, but I want it my terms. Then, of course, you're never going to get in service. You can forget about it. Because you want to be Krishna then. So please, it doesn't make sense. In one lecture, Prabhupada said, imagine you call Krishna, he walks into your house, and then you ignore him. That is what also happens. When we ask for service, Krishna comes in the form of service and we just ignore him. We don't want him. Then why are we chanting in the first place? It's very important. Never miss a chance, Prabhu, to do service. Never miss a chance. And I tell you, the more determined you are about it, the more Krishna will help you. Whether you are sick, if you're going to die and you do service, very good. What is wrong? You're going to die anyway. Might as well you die doing service. Nothing wrong. If you're very sick and you can't come, you come and do service, then you go back and rest. What's the worst that will happen? You just fall more sick. Okay, but at least you did service. In your sickness, you got purified. Nothing wrong. Some people say, I've studied, so it's going to be difficult to come. If you plan your studies well, surely you can come 1 hour, do some service and go. Nobody's going to die. You're not going to die. Sometimes because of our lack of faith, we see our material life and our spiritual life as separate. But it should not be that. Whatever we are in the material world, that is what we should be in the spiritual world. Otherwise, we're hypocrites. So if we have a proper mood when we work, and we work well because of a salary, then we should transfer the same ethics of work into the spiritual life. All the more so, because our supreme employer is Krishna. What do we lose? This is very important. Service has to be regular, it has to be determined, it has to be steady. Cannot be today I come, tomorrow I don't come, third day I come, fourth day I don't feel like coming, fifth day I don't like this service, sixth day change service, seventh day change another service. Then it's really going to be offensive chanting. It's very important. Yes, Guru.
I remember you always emphasize this point that if within the four corners of our homes,
yes.
If we don't do our service properly, or if we don't relate to those within the four walls properly, then chances are at the temple, the greater world, we will not be able to do service properly, and we will not be able to relate with devotees.
Very true.
So, can you elaborate on the point about service at home, and also relating with people at home?
Actually, relating with people at home is very, very important, because charity begins at home. Sometimes, you know, we are very nice to devotees in the center, but at home we are demons to our wives and our children and our parents. That means there's a huge dichotomy here. It doesn't make sense. Because they are also, Krishna is also in their hearts. So how can we have one standard for them, for the devotees here, and one standard for our family members? That's not correct. So the starting point is Krishna is in everyone's heart. So everyone we should respect, and everyone we should serve very nicely. The second point is even more important. Very often our parents, for example, they are not our selections. Parents were never selected by us. We never told Krishna we want this parent, that parent. We were born to them. So whether they are good or bad, based on whatever judgment, our duty is always to be respectful. Our duty is always to be peaceful. Our duty is somehow or another be exemplary. Even if they provoke us, we should be very careful not to be provoked. Sometimes for those who are married, you know, we may be the source of trouble to our wives, and sometimes the wife can be the source of trouble to us. Why? Because familiarity breeds contempt. And Prabhupada says in a husband-wife relationship, familiarity breeds contempt at its highest level. Because you get so used to someone, you don't see the person's glories, you don't see the person's advantages, the good points. It's very easy to take things for granted with someone whom you're living for a long time. And when you take someone for granted, like you take the holy name for granted, you will also offend the person. Because you don't see their value, just like you offend the holy name because you don't see its value. So, because Krishna is in the hearts of everyone, and the deity of Krishna here is also in your heart at home, so he knows what's happening at home. So when he sees that you are not congruent in your behavior, Krishna cannot be pleased. He cannot be pleased.
So
yes.
You're saying familiarity breeds contempt, right? So, does it mean that we don't get too familiar with someone, in the sense that we just like take them for granted or something like that? Should we like draw a barrier such that we can still see the person's glories and we can still appreciate the person for what they can do?
I think that automatically comes when in your mind you regard yourself as a servant to the person. Then it's automatic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
If you think that Krishna has given you wife not for you to lord over, or to monopolize, or to rule, or to dictate, but rather Krishna has given you this particular wife for you to serve, so that this person eventually becomes Krishna conscious, or you can aid in the person's Krishna consciousness, or support him or her in Krishna consciousness, then this familiarity is not going to be there. Because you are always going to be in the mood of a servant.
It's the
mood.
It's the consciousness,
yes,
when you see your family members.
But if you think, I know all, I'm senior devotee, I was in the movement long before you were, then something's seriously wrong. You know, when it comes to a big fight between husband and wife, normally we try to pull rank somewhere. Isn't it? Finally, we will pull rank and say, no, you know, I've been around longer, I know my sashtras, I know this, I know that. But we've missed the point. Right? Haridas Thakur says in Antya Leela that when the fruits of a tree are heavy and ripened, the branches of the tree on which the fruits are bend lower. But the branches of the tree on which there is no fruit or it's not ripe, they are always very high. So, you know, it doesn't mean if we talk very big, we are full of fruit. We have no substance when we talk very big. This is very important. So it's a good question. The way to improve all relationships in this world is to always remember that we are serving. Our children, see Krishna over there, we are ultimately serving him. So we do what a father has to do, but ultimately in our heart we never think that we are his master. We always are grateful to Krishna. Krishna has given me this child. My duty is to serve this child, always be supportive of his Krishna consciousness, always provide him with full opportunities for Krishna consciousness. Always pray to Krishna that he become a pure devotee of the Lord. Just like Prabhupada's father always prayed to all the sadhus that please make my son a pure devotee of Srimati Radharani. So this mood if we have, we will never become familiar with our spouses. We won't. That's why intimacy in relationships should be avoided. Intimacy is not for Krishna consciously. Intimacy should only be for Krishna. Because we are intimately connected to Krishna. We've had so many wives, so many children, so many husbands. We were so familiar with them last life. We took all our vows. See, you are the only one for me, I'm the only one for you. Now in this life, we can't even remember who we said the vows to. They can't remember us, we can't remember them. And the same thing will happen in this life also. So better we be servants. And in the Bhagavad Gita, this idea of servant leadership is now very current in the world, in corporate management, in corporate fields. This is a very important concept, the concept of a servant leader. You know, someone who empowers others to do work. Why? On the platform of service. Does that help? Does it help?
Yes.
Let's go on to the next point that is helpful to avoid offenses. Bhajaripo, you want to read? Be respectful to the holy name.
So we have to learn how to chant. Therefore, in the Shastras, in the Puranas, the ten kinds of offenses are described. And Srila Jiva Goswami has given very much stress to avoid these offenses. Shuddha Nama, in the beginning, we cannot chant pure form of the name because we are accustomed. But still, by chanting process, then it becomes Namabhasa, almost pure. Abhasa means just like before sunrise. You find the darkness is off, but it is not sunlight. It is different from sunlight, but still there is the dawn. You can see everything distinctly. Similarly, first there is offensive name, and if you avoid the 10 kinds of offenses, then gradually it becomes Namabhasa. And Srila Haridas Thakur has said, Namacharya, that Namabhasa, one becomes liberated. There was some argument with Haridas Thakur and one Brahmana in the office of Raghunath Das Goswami's father, uncle. So there were some kind of high-level talks on this Namabhasa. So by Namabhasa, one becomes liberated.
Carry on, Prabhu.
By chanting Hare Krishna mantra offensive, one becomes materially happy or distressed. But when one comes to the stage of Namabhasa, he becomes liberated. And when one chants pure name, then there is Krishna Prema. Just like Rupa Goswami, when he was chanting, we are also chanting, but we are not in the stage of Rupa Goswami or Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur. Actually, if we come to the stage, then there will be Krishna Prema, love of Krishna. Just like Rupa Goswami said that, what shall I chant when one tongue, with one tongue and two ears? If there were millions of tongues and trillions of ears, I could chant something. And we cannot finish even 16 rounds because we have not created our taste for chanting. Still, we are in the Namaparat stage, but don't be disappointed. Go on chanting. You'll come to the right position, Namabhas, then Sutra Nam. Everything requires gradual development.
That's a nice point from Prabhupada, isn't it?
The ending was
very good. The ending is so nice. He brought us, first it was very difficult, because now we realize, oh my God, this is really tough. But now Prabhupada says it very nicely. Actually, we should accept that we have no taste. And that's why chanting 16 rounds is still a struggle. It's a fact. But Prabhupada says, don't be disappointed. When we become disappointed, we become discouraged, we become morose, then we waste time.
Yeah.
Isn't it? We waste so much time, morose, then we become depressed, then we have to see someone, then, you know, we have to get some therapy for that. But the therapy is in the chanting. So instead of becoming discouraged, don't be disappointed. Go on chanting. That's what we should. But now he tells us how we should chant. Prabhu, the next paragraph.
So this Nama is also another incarnation of Krishna. Nama Rupe Kali Kali Krishna Avatar. Name is because name and Krishna is not different. Abhinat Vat Nama Namino. There is no difference. Here in the material world, there is difference between the name and the substance. But Advaya Jnana, in the absolute world, there is no such distinction. The name and the person, the same, identical. So actually, when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we directly associate with Krishna. Because name is the incarnation of Krishna. Nama Rupi Krishna Avatara. Therefore, if we are sensible, then we should take very much respectful attitude to the name. Because name and Krishna, the same. Suppose Krishna comes here, how much respectful we shall be immediately. So similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we should know Krishna is there. Therefore, we should be very much cautious and respectful, not neglectful. That is offense. If
you become inattentive, there is offense. You should know this, try to avoid.
So many times he's saying that, isn't it? So we are sensible. If we want to be sensible, the key now is let's have a respectful attitude to the name. That is the mood. We must be respectful. And then Prabhupada goes on to say that we must also be cautious. When we do spiritual life, perform spiritual service, always be cautious. We should not be reckless. Intelligence is meant to be used for Krishna. So whatever that we do, we should think carefully and be cautious. That's why we have to avoid the offenses. Prabhupada never says that these offenses have to be stopped. Have you noticed? He has never said that we stop the offenses. He's always said that we should avoid the offenses. Avoiding means there's a barrier on the road, it's coming towards you. What do? You just avoid it. There are several ways to avoid it, isn't it? One, don't use that road. That's the best thing. You know. Two, if you see a barrier, try and find another way around it.
Just keep trying.
That's the point. It's a nice point. That's the point. As long as we try to avoid, Krishna will give us that help. We must be steady. We must be determined. We must seek the guidance of spiritual masters. We must have a respectful service attitude. We must now be respectful of the holy name. Know how powerful and spiritual the holy name is. And now we must also be cautious. And Prabhupada says, do not be neglectful. Don't neglect. Do not neglect the chanting. Don't neglect chanting. It has two meanings, Prabhus. One is, don't be careless about chanting. And second is, don't stop chanting. Sometimes we say, oh, this is very difficult, I'll just stop. That is neglectful. The other way is, no, just keep chanting. I'll watch TV and chant. You know, I will do my work, left hand, right hand chant. I'll wake up in the morning, chant, read newspaper, turn left page, chant with right hand. I'll make my plan for the whole day, you know. I walk around, I'm hungry, left hand, eat something, right hand, keep chanting. You know, I'll have some conversations on the phone and then go back to it. That is also neglectful. Imagine doing that in a relationship. Ah, your wife is having this serious conversation with you. You go to the fridge and read it. And then outside, your mother is talking to you. You turn the TV. Yeah. That is neglectful. That is not respectful. That is throwing caution to the wind. That is not seeking guidance of a superior. That is definitely not having a service attitude. You have ticked off all the wrong boxes. Then all the offenses are present. This is what Prabhupada means. And in the yes, Prabhupada.
Just one question. Yeah. You know, when we read all this, Prabhupada is making the point that the name is everything.
Yes.
So the essence is the name.
Yes, right?
But still, sometimes you know, emphasis is given to the grosser things, like rules, regulations.
Yes.
Worship. And yes. Things like that. How do we balance this?
Okay. All the rules are servants of this one principle, to somehow or another remember Krishna. They're all kinkar. They're all servants. So whatever rules we have in devotional service are meant to serve the aim. The aim being to chant the holy name to serve the Lord. That's what it is. And chanting the holy name achieves that one aim of always remembering Krishna and never forget. That's how we should see.
So in that sense, can one think that if right now I'm chanting every day and consistently, then I don't have to do other forms of service because I'm already with the SS.
Okay, that's a good question. If I'm chanting every day, the problem is I'm not chanting throughout the day. So there will be moments in the day, very often, when I'm not remembering Krishna. And I'll sooner or later find out, just because I chant 16 rounds in the morning doesn't mean by lunchtime I'm still remembering Krishna. Very often, before you get on the bus, you can forget Krishna already. So that's why the other processes are important. That's why we have to study Prabhupada's books. That's why we have to eat Krishna Prasadam. That's why we come to the center and do services. That's why we come every Saturday to hear. That's why we try to study. That's why we do the 9 processes of devotion service. It keeps us engaged. The chanting of the holy name is the foundation for this age. One who chants nicely, he automatically will gain the full advantage of all these other limbs of devotional service. But when he doesn't chant properly, the other limbs can very easily either be neglected or be taken for granted.
With regards to this point, just mentioned, like Prabhupada said that actually among all the processes, right, like 90% of our spiritual comes from the chant.
Yes, it's true, especially in this age. It's very important. So I won't read the last paragraph because I'm running out of time, but you can see the bold. Therefore, we must again, he says, we must be very careful, cautious, respectful. Then it is nice, it is success. The last one comes from the purport, one of the longest purports in Bhagavatam. And over here, I'll just very quickly highlight to you. Prabhupada says, when you chant the holy name, you should be careful to avoid 10 offenses. And from Sanat Kumara, it is understood that even if a person is a severe offender in many ways, he is freed from offensive life if he takes shelter of the holy name. And then Prabhupada writes out all the 9 offenses. All the 10 offenses. Everything is given here. And you can see the way Prabhupada writes it. He's actually by his writing, for example, if you see to blaspheme a devotee, especially a devotee engaged in broadcasting the glories of the holy name. And if you see to compare the chanting of the holy name to pious activities. He's rephrased it, but he captures the essence actually. And then to instruct the glories of the holy name to a person who has no understanding of the chanting. This clarifies some doubts that sometimes we have. I thought we can chant to anyone, but here Prabhupada saying if he has no understanding of the chanting, that means he doesn't understand the glories of the chanting.
That's a faithless person.
Yes, it's a faithless person. So giving them the glories, no point. Like we're going to a new house today in a few minutes. If I went there and I spoke about the glories of the holy name and everything and there's no faith even in that house, then I'm actually causing them to offend. Because they'll think this is all too much. But if I go there and just do chanting for 1 hour and get out, chances are it's better. Because less talk, more chanting. People hear, they become inspired. Next time they may ask, okay, what is this about? Then you have not created an offense in their hearts. You have created an encouragement in their hearts. I want to know more. Then you give it. And when he saw the audience was getting rowdy, what would he tell his disciples? Okay, stop. Now just chant. That's what he used to do very often. And the point I wanted to bring up here is the last paragraph. In other words, the chanting of the holy name makes one offenseless. This is very important. The line after, before that, it is recommended that even if one commits offenses, one should continue chanting the holy names. And then Prabhupada gives very nice point. He gives a nice example here. One should be very humble and meek to offer one's desires and chant prayers composed in glorification of the holy name. And these are two verses he gives us. Nivritta tarshi upagiya manar, we all know. And then he says, one should chant such prayers to become free from offenses at the lotus feet of the holy name. In other words, Prabhus, the more you study and learn prayers from Bhagavatam, the more you recite them with love, the more you take shelter of Bhagavatam, which is Prabhupada's blood and sweat actually, you'll find it has a corresponding effect on the quality of your chanting of the holy name. I can take 1 or 2 minutes of questions. Yes, Prabhu.
I think in my experience,
sure.
I think my problem is that I understand what you're saying. I understand the importance that we have to have a surrendered service to the Lord. But the problem is, I think for me, is that I want to have that certainty. So how do I go beyond that? Just the feeling of, I have to have faith. But instead come to a level where I can actually have a tangible experience of Krishna's reality in my life and in everything.
Is that what you mean by certainty?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay. And how do you expect that experience to be like?
I mean, from what I've understood is you have to chant the holy name of the Lord and engage in devotional service. But I think maybe in a sense, to make it easy to understand, like you mentioned that when you chant the holy name, you have mystic powers. Perhaps beyond that, maybe I would like to say is like, what are the stages of spiritual maturity that you attain in such a way that you will know with clarity that He is the absolute truth?
Okay, good question. The answer can be quite straightforward. Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita both tell us that the only sure way in which we come to perceive the presence of Krishna in our lives is when we are patient. That's a very important qualification in nectar instruction. If we are confident, that's also very important. Confident that this process has value and I should pursue it. And in between patience and confidence, we perform the services with enthusiasm. If you have that level of enthusiasm, good things tend to come a little bit more slowly. The fast foods are fast foods because they're fast, but they also kill you very fast. But the better food tends to take longer time to cook. So in that way, Prabhu, all good things in life take time. But if a devotee continues chanting, and he doesn't create a material expectation of what this chanting will do, but he opens himself up to the fact that chanting gives me peace, chanting gives me clarity of thought, chanting gives me this feeling of bliss, and I have no idea how to explain it materially, then we're pretty much sure that this feeling actually is what brings you back over and over to the center. The problem why we cannot describe spiritual things in the material world is because it is spiritual. We can come close to it, but we can never use material words to describe ecstasy. Just like, no matter how many times I tell you how honey will taste, the only best way to do it is, Prabhu, you please try it. Then you will know honey tastes good. So what you're doing is perfect. As long as you engage in the process, as long as you follow the markers that Prabhupada gave you, as long as you plunge yourself into service and take good association of devotees, you'll be very happy. You will. So Prabhus, I didn't touch on Ishopanishad, but I just realized today when I was coming here, Radhika said for the Nitya Leelas, I actually did every verse, I did notes for them. So actually, she has the notes for all the verses, right through from the invocation to the end mantra. Maybe I can review them and pass them forward to you, Prabhu, and Sarat Prabhu. You can review it, see if it's helpful. You can use it in a few ways. One, you can distribute it for everyone to read, plus do their own reading and come and discuss. Or the person who's leading the discussion can hold it first, run through it, I'll be happy to discuss the points I put down, and then you facilitate the discussion with the points. So it's all there actually. So that may be useful. Thank you, Prabhus, for your time. I hope it's been useful. And thank you for joining us. No, I'm fine. I'm happy to have you here. If you have questions, and you will have questions, as we all do, please, Sarag is a good friend. He's also a serious devotee, very sincere. Your meeting with him cannot be accident. His meeting with you also cannot be accident. There must have been some arrangement for this. And for you to come to the center to sit down, to take darshan, it's just very nice. Thank you, Prabhu, for your time.
I appreciate it
too. Okay, Prabhus, I'm running off for a program. If you have anything to discuss, discuss. And I hope to see you all once again. Of all the programs that I have, I enjoy Bhaktivatsala programs very, very much. I'm very enlivened to see devotees being so serious about devotional life. Keep the fire. And keep your relationships very nice. Don't become intimate to the point where you hurt each other, but always serve each other on the platform of love. You find that that is actually much more relishable, rather than expecting things and spoiling things. Let us serve the devotees. Then we are happy. No attachment, no aversion. Put Krishna in the center. Always be attached to the holy name. Start the day with the holy name. End the day with the holy name. We should never be satisfied with chanting. We should never say, aha, now I'm chanting very nicely, I can stop. We should always feel, you know, that chanting begets more chanting.
Yes, Srila Prabhupada mentioned this very nice point.
Yes.
We may ask ourselves how attracted we are to the holy name. He said the best way to do it is stop your kirtan, stop cooking prasadam, stop everything else. Just chant in solitude with your japa mala, then
yes.
You will know how progress.
Yeah, it's very true. Then you know how dry you feel. how blissful we are.
Because you say the rest you can find some bliss very easily. But when it comes to chanting the holy name,
it's very difficult. Okay, I better go. Okay. Otherwise I'll be late.
Thank you, folks.
See you all in a while, Babush.